Moving on in the Berachas HaShachar and explanations of the brachas that we say in the morning to get ourselves in the proper zone. And as we advance in the Berachas HaShachar, we've gone from more general to now heading to a little more specific. It's very important oftentimes in life to focus on those details because there's certainly a lot of appreciation we have for things in general, but when you take a step and you kind of analyze it, and you can't do it too much, otherwise it gets overwhelming. But in the morning time, before we start our day off, highlight a few different areas, and we're going to spend time discussing why these few and what they mean to us. Those are crucial and important to do. So before I get to any of those brachas that we're going to be specifying, I'll read to you a paragraph or two of Rav Pinkus, who has a beautiful idea again in the brachas HaShachar in general, before we get to the actual brachas. So Rav Pinkus says, "Lumas hamala gdola, she's bara b'hagdara al yedei klal." Besides the fact that, of course, is a great advantage of speaking about things in general terminology, there's also something that you're missing. When you speak about generalities, you lose very specific things. Klal shetofes elef pratim, a general thing that has 1,000 pieces that make it up. Lamasa mischalek le'elef pratim, you could have broken it down to 1,000 parts. Kol echem mehem biyachas leklal katam na'od, ukamat biltim murgash, and each one of them, when you compare it to the klal, it's very, very small, and it's basically not even felt. And therefore, if you focus only on the klal, you don't appreciate sometimes the pratim. For example, I just went to the car mechanic, and like the screws that tighten into your car. So those are really things that you don't focus on at all. But when one of them seems to be like it's not fitting well to the wheel anymore, that can have a tremendous impact. But looking at the car, it's not something you usually look at or focus on at all. The pratim oftentimes are very crucial. We're looking at the bigger picture, we kind of, it gets lost in the process. So we're going to try to spend a little more time focusing on these points. Our Pickens goes on to explain, Brichos HaShachar hein brachos al ha'chaim hativim. And the Brichos HaShachar we're going to mention right now are brachos about normal, what we would call natural life. Shematra shalahem, the goal, la'fokas ha'chaim hativim shalan lios kedoshim utorim. I want to take what seems like natural life, what Pickens says, or Hashem wants us to do this. And the Chazal put this in place for the Brichos HaShachar. Things that are natural life experiences and turn them into not basic, you know, things we go through every day in a brainless fashion, but to make them kidoshim utorim, lodos al kol nishima v'nishima shelanu, to be able to thank Hashem for each and every breath that we take. U'mimeilu ladash shekol riyish lanu, hamabu shelanu, hakoma shelanu, alicha shelanu, and to know, in the end of the day, to realize that everything we see and everything that we wear and our ability to stand up straight and to walk, it's every part of that is connected to Hashem. Lasos me'achayim shalanu base mikdash gadol, to make our life one big walking base of mikdash. Ulachnitzas kol mitzius chayinu tachazos hakdusha, and to bring every aspect and every part of our life, even the most mundane, more animalistic parts, under that kedusha level. Lakir shekol mashem nachum kablim, whatever we receive, hakol me'kadosh baruch hu, mi'ado hamalayad, comes from His hand, hapsucha hakdusha rechava. Because share b'kesher b'al yinatek l'rach baruch hu. Everything, we should recognize where our gifts come from. That is matras baruch l'shachar. And to analyze and specify the great thing that Hashem does for us in this world, in our lives. And the more that we can specify that, the greater level of connection we'll have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, again, too much is going to be challenging. So we spend the morning, we count the amount of time it takes to baruch l'shachar, hopefully not too short. But each bracha takes 3-4 seconds. So we want to try to change those 3-4 seconds to maybe make it more 6-7 seconds. But to analyze and think about each bracha as you say them, what exactly it means. So the first one we have on the radar right now, after we finished already from the last time, Shlosani Isha if you're a boy, and Shasani Kirtono if you're a girl, is a bracha of Pokeach Irim, which means you open up the eyes of the blind. Now, I remember seeing this a long time ago in the Sefer by Rav Schwab. He suggests that before you say this bracha, close your eyes for 4 seconds. Don't, you know, kind of like don't look around, but you can't because your eyes are closing. Feel around you and realize that oh my gosh, if I couldn't see, my life would be so different. What a gift it is. And then you open up your eyes then, and then you make a bracha. Because at that point in time, you have a real appreciation for what it means to be able to see. Because you close your eyes and you spent 3-4 seconds before you made the bracha that way, and you kind of like take a step in each direction and realize how unbalanced that we are without being able to see. And that bracha has that much more meaning to us when we make that bracha under those, under that backdrop. We say that the suma is chashuv kamei. A person who's blind, it's like he's not even alive. Again, obviously he's living Baruch Hashem, but he's limited his ability to affect other people. He can't appreciate the beauty of the world that goes on around him. And there's a lot that's missing that his soul should be able to be seeing and appreciating that he can't appreciate. And he goes even further than that. He says, Imis Bonein, we read Aripikus, a line Aripikus has. Imis Bonein Niglek, he ishnam ein spur dvarim shekoach ha-ra'us, nosim lanos ha-ra'us lasim lev elayhem. If you think about it, sight gives us the opportunity to pay attention to things that you would never have realized come from sight. Dvarim ha-misrachshim b'chol yom b'chol shah, things that move us every day and every hour. Not only do we see them, but it makes us happy in life. For example, the one he brings down is the most obvious to me. You walk in and your child says, Abba, and gives you a hug around your leg. And you see him running at you. Abba, he's running at you. When you first walk in, you see a smile. That's simcha. When you see your friend that you haven't seen in ages, when your kal is going to be walking down the chuppah, your chassan is awaiting you under the chuppah. I mean, that was boy and girl. It wasn't like for boy or for girl. But for a boy who was waiting for his kala to walk down, and the girl will see her chassan waiting for under the chuppah, the simcha that you get when you look at somebody else like that, that's a joy that comes from the eyes. And he goes on to explain other things. Maybe hopefully you appreciate it. Maybe you don't, but hopefully you do. You walk into your base medrash in your home and your room, and you see your sparim on your shelf. You see that a new machzer someone just bought you. You look at a wound. He says, "Let's talk about pets." Look at a wound that you had, and you see how Hashem fixes and heals the wounded. To see, there's something when it comes to cooking, plating your food it's something that's very important. Who cares about how it looks on the plate? It's how it tastes. No, because the eyes are part of the process of appreciating what's in front of you. The simcha of what you see even affects what you eat. It affects how you enjoy it even, because the eyes carry so much alongside them. And Hashem wants us to have simcha in the world. Hashem wants us to appreciate things in the world. He's looking for us to enjoy in all the right ways that we're allowed to. Actually, I remember I heard this Yerushalmi was from Arav Lichtenstein, a Rebbe of mine who passed away a number of years ago in the Gris Kol. He was a Rebbe of mine. And so he quoted this Yerushalmi, the very end of Kedushin, that says, "Asid adam litei din v'cheshbon al kol ma sheraasa ino v'lo achal." One day you will have to explain yourself to Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the food, for all the fruits that you saw and he didn't eat. Hashem wants you to enjoy the world. Hashem would like you to appreciate where the good comes from and that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're able to bring that good back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that allows you to treat the physical pleasure of the world as being spiritual as well. But more than that even, eyesight, I'm spending a lot of time now, but eyesight is something that shows you real truth. How do we know it's real truth? Because we know when it comes to ages, when it comes to testimony, the rule is if you don't see it, you can't testify. If you hear about it, you heard something from behind the scene, you can't testify what happened. But if you see it, you can testify. It means if you see it, you can say to someone, that guy's chayav misa. I'm an aid. That guy should be killed. And we listen to you, which means that your eyes have the ability to see things that are true. Everything else, every other, if someone said something to you, but you didn't see it yourself, or you heard something, but you didn't see it yourself, you can't testify the same way. A picture is worth 1,000 words. When you see certain things, that gives the opportunity to know that there was a truth that just happened under our noses or above our noses, because that's where our eyes are found. A little further, we have, Rapinkus points out that we see 15 hours a day our eyes are working. Again, assuming that you sleep for 9 hours, which is a long time to sleep in. But you're busy doing other things, whatever it is, taking a little nap here or there, I don't know, closing your eyes and listening to music. 15 hours a day, probably more than that even, our eyes are functioning. Not only functioning, but every time that you see something, it creates a memory in your mind. And there are times I've seen movies from when I was younger. It's true, I did see movies. I admit it. Planet Mascarillo, I hit my heart. Slach Lanu. I saw movies when I was younger. And there are times I'm down to today, and I think of a movie. Or I hear someone make a one line. I'm like, I know what movie that's from. He's quoting that line over here. I know what that's from. And I give him a knowing nod. We both know it. When I saw this one time 25 years ago. But the way the eyes work, you see something, your brain registers it. Could you imagine having an item that works for decades and decades, 15 hours a day? And not only that, but when it works, it creates memories that you don't forget ever. How much money would you pay for a camera like that? How much money would you pay to have a device that stores your memories 15 hours a day? It didn't have to be recharged at all. It doesn't have to be serviced in your, hopefully, assuming it's healthy and well. It doesn't have to be serviced every year or two. That's what your eyes are. So before you make a bracha, we have to realize how blessed we are to have such an item, such a device in our eyes, that we're of our eyes, we're able to appreciate everything God's bracha gave us in the world. One more point I'll share with you is that if you're able to bring everything back, lay everything back to God's bracha, you also make your physical pleasure into spiritual pleasure as well. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was known as a very, very wealthy individual, who wrote the Mishnah for us, put the Mishnah together for us, I should say. So in the Gemara Ksuvos of Kubda Al Ma'alaf, it tells that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so when he was about to die, and he lived a very a life of luxury, he had a lot of great things in the world, says he stuck his fingers in the air, and it says, Ribono Sholom, he said, Goli v'yadua lefanecha, she'yagati be'eser et bo'osai b'torah, v'lenesi afilu be'eser b'katana. Yeah, right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know that I've worked hard with all of my fingers to study Torah, and I never got hana even from my little pinky. I never got extra enough from even a pinky. Now, Rabbi Nasi lived a very luxurious life. What do you mean he got enough even from his pinky? It means that when he used his pinky, he recognized that it came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There was not one thing in his lifetime that he ever looked at as just being a physical pleasure. Every time, that's really the goal we have in life, and the eyes are really a main source of pleasure. To take our eyes and make sure that we're able to appreciate and realize that everything that we see is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we transform every pleasure we have to becoming not an animal piece of us, but a means to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the bracha of Pekeach Ivrim. Again, a recommended way to start it off before you make it is close your eyes for a few seconds, kind of take a step or two in each direction, but don't bump into anybody, of course. Feel around a little bit, realize that you can't see anything, and then understand how much koach the eyes have with all the imagery we just gave, and then make a bracha, okay, with real kavanah, because now we understand how important it is. Next bracha is Malbish Arumin, the one who clothes those who are without clothing, who are naked. I want to read to you a line found in the Sefer of Rav Schwab on Tefillah. It's a beautiful idea. He says, Malbish Arumin is a bracha, it's a hodah, lo rak al sheyesh lan a begad lelbosh. Not only that we have clothing to wear, lo no ladnu begadim. We weren't born with clothing. So it's not, you know, it wasn't part of our birth. Yet, okay, we were born with eyes. We weren't born with clothing. And he quotes over here, Eov, Arubi Atzati Mibetan Imi, I came out, Eov says, without any clothing, without anything on my body. So what are you really blessing Hashem about Bish Arumin? Elagam al Bagadan Shanasu Bimatan Adam Rishon, Shatsum Migan Eden Acharechet. We're thanking Hashkadosh Baruch Hu. We're realizing Hashkadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam Rishon clothing after the chait that happened in Gan Eden. The moment Adam Rishon prioritized and preferred his physical desires and the wanting to eat from that tree more than he wanted to listen to Tzibur Hashem, as I nev the mimenu malaso his gabra chashivus gufo habehemis, we lost a very high level and we gave a lot of strength to our animal desires. We became much more animal-like. At that point in time, the difference between man and beast was very, very limited. We were just maybe more sophisticated versions of beast. But at that point in time, we were so animalistic. We chose eating from a tree over Hashem's tzibur, Hashem's ratzon. We became almost beast-like. And over here, it says Rav Schwab the following idea. We had very little that would differentiate between us and beast. Hashem gave us clothing. He gave us tznius. That is an area you walk around the street, unless someone knitted a little sweater for their poodle. Usually animals don't have clothing. They have fur. They don't have separate clothing. We also have fur. We have skin. We have hair. But we also have clothing. Because clothing, at the end of the day, is what separates us from beast. And we make a bracha of Malbish Arumin. What we're really doing, we're saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that you gave Adam Rishon the original gift of clothing, to allow us to be separate from beasts. Because at this point in time, at the point in time when we ate from the tree, we lost our difference between us and animal. And now, thank you, sweetie. And now we are currently in a state when we need those clothing, we need that Malbish Arumin to make sure that we realize that we are not simply a more advanced version of an animal. And that's what we have in mind, says Rav Schwab, when we make the Baruch Malbish Arumin, that we have tznius on our side. We're not like an animal anymore. Hashem gave us the opportunity, gave Adam the opportunity to clothe himself and to try to get back to his spirituality, despite the fact that he just rejected him in listening to the interests of Chava and of the Nachash. Another angle of Avicha Rumi also, which I'll read through just a quick few lines inside, is found in the Sefer of Pincus. He says, "Birchas Avicha Rumi Yesh Omek Gadol is a very deep idea. Adam Shu Arum Hu Arum Mi Akavod Shelo." You know, I don't know if you guys aren't teachers mostly, at least, so maybe you never had this dream before, but as a teacher, sometimes you have a dream, you're standing up in front of your class without your clothes on. You know, you're not dressed properly. So what's the biggest deal? You feel you're humiliated because clothing gives people kavod, right? The way that you dress allows a person to feel mechubad, to feel honorable. When people dress up to certain things, you dress up. Clothing gives a person the opportunity to express his kavod. And that's why when a person's only chitzonius and you have no way of expressing how you feel inside, your neshama wants to be expressed also. That's the goal of clothing, to express how your neshama feels. You have a body, and your clothing is supposed to express what's deeper, what you feel deeply. And that's why I sometimes speak to students of mine when it comes to dating. We talk about, you know, if a girl would look at a guy, how he dresses. Does he wear button-down shirts? Does he wear black and white? And they feel like, it's not right for me to be judged that way. The truth is that when you wear clothing, you're expressing your inner self to somebody else, expressing not your body, but your inner part, your neshama. And clothing have that ability. I mean, the literature means that you gave us opportunity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be malbish or ruben, that you helped us clothe and show people how we feel internally. And that's why a girl might look at a boy's dress and based on that, decide whether they think it's a right match or not. It might seem shallow, but it's really much deeper than you think it is. Because the way we dress is, it's supposed to be an expression, malbish arumim, expression of how we feel deeper and more inside. Okay. Matir Asurim is the next one. Down. So, Shra points out, this is supposed to be an idea of realizing the gift of movement in our body. Every movement that our body is able to make is something that's a tremendous, tremendous gift. And unfortunately, right now, I'm myself struggling with a hamstring injury. I was walking with my wife today in Yerushalayim to bring our car to the shop, and it was a busha. Like, you know, I felt like I was a 100-year-old man shuffling down the street. You know, the light turns red, and you're like, back in the day, you just kind of jog across the street and make it there in time. And I'm like, I stop. I can't. The idea that Matiris Hashem straightens, you know, those who are tied up, Hashem unties those who are bound, who are stuck. So if once you have an injury in your life and your body, you're able to appreciate much more what this bracha really means. When we're healthy, running around, you have to catch a bus, you want to jog and get the phone, your phone's ringing outside downstairs, you want to run down and get it. So you're naturally running, you don't appreciate it. But Matiris Hashem is the bracha that you can do that. If you ever hurt yourself, most people in the world have tweaked an ankle, you know, injured something here or something there. And that moment in time, you understand how limited we are without our full natural movement. That's bracha of Matir Asurim is our full natural movement. And moving along those lines, okay, Hashem straightens up the bent. There's a bracha that, again, is very hard if you never had a back injury, and most of the young people hopefully haven't had that. I know myself when I was younger, so I was dating my wife at the time, and we were, again, don't learn from me, we were playing tennis on a date, and there's nothing wrong with that. Playing tennis on a date. And the bell rang that it was an hour and the time was up, and my wife was changing from her sport shoes to her date shoes, and I'm an athlete back in the day, so I figured, you know, let me show my wife a little thing or two about, you know, I was taking it easier on her, let me show her how to serve when she's not there, but in front of the ball there. And I ran to get the ball, I went to the service line, I pulled the ball, put the ball up, and I bent back for my big forehand slam on the serve, and immediately my back tightened up and spasmed, and I couldn't straighten myself up. And for about two, I was a little embarrassed, first of all. For about 2 weeks' time, I was stuck in bed. And I never, and every sneeze that I had was, cough was, my body was racked with pain. It was terrible pain. And when I finally was better, you know, I said to brachas, okay, if it was such kavana, you straighten the bent. Again, unfortunately, like we had earlier, Matir Asurim, you don't understand the details, the pratim of what has to be working in place for us to be healthy and to appreciate so much more the health that we have in life. We shouldn't have to go through challenges to appreciate that. We should be able to give bracha Hashem before we get to those challenges. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the imos barren. Why? All the imos were barren. Why? To daven to Hashem. Now even Leah in the Chumash sounds like she was barren, because it says Vayitzach Es Rachma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up her womb, but she was very fertile. It sounds like she never realized she was even barren. So why did Hashem, you know, open up her womb right away? Because she cried for many things before she ever got to that stage in life. Don't make it that you have to wait to be in pain to thank Hashem for being a Matir Asurim and for being a Zokef Kufim. Do it now. Realize now, straighten yourself up, you know, do a little bending. Understand that you're so lucky to be able to bend, to hop, to walk, to jump. And that bracha right away, make a bracha, Matir Asurim Zokef Kufim, with such kavana, So we don't have to wait for Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us the challenge and appreciate it only later on. The next bracha we make is Raka Aretz al Mayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he allows the Aretz, the world, to stand on water. We live in a world that we feel secure being in. We feel secure being around. We walk. We're not afraid of the world collapsing under our feet and falling into the ocean. But the truth is, even though we can explain why that's the case, the fact that we have such an existence is unbelievable. The fact that the world has this natural gravitational pull. If you ever seen like a shot from outer space and you see the world's a ball floating in the middle of nowhere. Okay, we can explain gravitational pull keeps us in rotation. But who created that? Kadosh Baruch Hu did. He's Rokar Salamayim. He makes the world be what it is today to allow us to function and to walk on it, to not be afraid at all. Hashem made the entire thing. The whole thing is suspended. It says, Tola Eretz Ablima is suspended in nothing. Hashem has the world suspended. Again, all you have to look at is from seeing it from space. Remember, I was watching on a YouTube clip, this guy, I think it was for Red Bull, who jumped, he had the false free fall, of course, in the suit he had on from space before he you know, has speed and his free fall. He's falling into a ball. He's falling into a ball called Earth. It's just suspended in nowhere also. It's suspended. All these things, even though we can explain how it works that way, it's from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Tam Teva, nature. Hashem made this that way. I'll read you another line from Rapinkus. We live with a certain standard lifestyle, and the reality, we make up every single day to the same thing. We don't think about this anymore. We don't think it could have been otherwise. We don't think to thank Hashem for it. It's regalnum. We've gotten used to this being our reality. This is our reality, period. But the truth is, it's not a reality. Hashem makes it a reality every waking second, 24 hours a day. Hashem is making this our reality. It's not stam a reality. There's no necessity that Hashem will continue doing it. Any point in time, he can stop if he wanted to. That's an unbelievable idea and a terrifying idea. That what we have in front of us right now is something that we shouldn't take for granted. As a matter of fact, all you have to do, if you ever were in an earthquake and you felt the ground crumbling from in front of you, you felt the movement, the shaking, then you realize it's not so simple. It's not so simple that things are so easy and to kind of walk through life the way it is. I should appreciate the fact that the world is not usually shaking under our boots. Okay, next bracha. Trust Ali called Sarki, that you gave me everything that I need. Many say that it refers to shoes. Actually, back in the day, they used to do the bracha attached to certain behaviors. When they put their shoes on, they would say, Trust Ali called Sarki. And some say it means everything, even including shoes. This is an idea that brought down in Rav Schwab. And this bracha is this is a sentence, a line, a sentence that represents the idea of being Samech Bechelkum. That Hashem gives me everything that I need. Whatever I need, Hashem gives me. Whatever I don't need, Hashem doesn't give me. Whatever Hashem doesn't give me, I don't need. It's the idea that really appreciating that everything Hashem gives me in the world is exactly what I need, nothing more than that, and nothing less than that. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, it's a very interesting bracha. It's unique from every other bracha that we have. This bracha is in singular. The other bracha we had were all in plural up till now, right? Pokeach ivrim, matir asurim, tokefim, shazali kol tzarki. Hashem gave me what I need. Because I'm allowed to say to myself, oh, I have everything that I need. I can't say about my neighbor, you have everything you need. If my friend went to my door and knocked on the door and said, listen, can I borrow $50? I can say to him, asalacha Hashem kol tzarkecha. Hashem gave you everything that you need. You're okay. We don't do that. Asali kol tzarkecha. Hashem gave me everything that I need. This is the bracha really representing in our morning time of the idea of Ezu Ashira Samech Bechalko. Whatever I'm supposed to have, Hashem provides for me. Everything that I need, Hashem gives me. Have that in mind, that idea of being Samech Bechalko when you make that bracha. The next bracha is Asherichim Mitzad Gavr. Now, we have a little bit of a shift right now. This is pointed out over here in Rav Schwab's Sefer as well. Up until now, we always spoke about what Hashem is giving me. Hashem gave me this. Hashem made the world that way. Hashem allowed me to have this. Hashem allowed me to have that. But here we say, Hashem has prepared me to take my steps. Up until now, again, Asherichim Mitzad Gavr, Hashem has prepared for the steps of man. Up until now, Hashem has given us gifts that now allow me to be me, allow me to now turn into person I'm supposed to become into, you know, from this point forward. It's about us. The bracha is now turned to us. From Hashem, thanking Hashem, to now realizing that we can make things happen. Hashem gives us things that we need to make ourselves become the people we're supposed to become in the end. And I'll read you a line from the Sefer of Schwab. Adkan bo habrachos al seder ha'olam hanoheg b'chol ha'min ha'noshi. Up until now, this now is going to be the shift. Once I described over here that the Kaz Baruch Hu now allows me to become what's supposed to become in the end, now we can separate what kind of people we're talking about here. We're talking about people who are following Kaz Baruch Hu's wishes, people who are following their animalistic desires. So here, this bracha that you prepared for me, to other govern, me to allow to take steps to be an individual person supposed to become today. So now, this is going to be a shift, a segue into the following. Says Rav Shrab, up to now we did brachos on Seder Olam, Hanoheg B'chol Min Enoshi, up to all mankind. But now we mentioned Hashem prepares us and allows us to make our own paths in life. He gave us free choice. Now we're going to shift over and realize, recognize that because Rabbi gave me Bechira, that I'm supposed to choose wisely now. I should embrace good things. I should reject and be disgusted by bad things. And then we start off now with things that are unique to the Jewish people. Hashem gave Yisrael Gvura. Again, we shift over from mankind to Bnei Yisrael. He girds us with strength. What does that idea mean? So it was brought that when you put on your belt, you're supposed to make this bracha. Now, what's the point? Why is this related to a belt? So the reason why is that we have two halves to our body. We have lo asani. So that's unique. It's unique. So Seth's asking a question. Lo asani goy is it's unique, but it's not in the positive. I mentioned before, this is all the positive Hashem gives me, not what Hashem did make me, what Hashem did make me as. And again, this becomes a more focused now on what's unique about us being a Yisrael. Hashem gave us Gvura, Ozer Yisrael Gvura. He caused us to tie a belt between our two halves of our body. Now, why is that important? Because your bottom half of your body, if you think about it for a minute, without getting too specific and too graphic, is much more animal-based. The top half, thought, heart, mind, is much more spiritual-based. We have to have two parts. It's important to have two parts of our body, a physical one and a spiritual one. But we need to make sure we have a boundary that makes sure that we're sifting out what gets to what part of our body. I want to read to you, again, from Rav Pinchas HaSefer. Ach l'shiluv zeh yish erech raki mechitzam. Again, for us to be half physical, half spiritual is better than animal, obviously. It's better than angel, because angels are only spiritual. We're half physical and half spiritual. And that is significant. It's the highest value as long as you have a mechitza. Raki mi'ishna havdallah. Being kodesh l'chol, we have a separation in our kodesh part, our top part, and our chol part, our bottom part. Then if I had a separation, then I can let my kedusha also go to the bottom part. I can let the kedusha influence and affect the bottom part. But if I can't hold myself in check, and my kodesh is overtaken by my chol sometimes as well, then unfortunately it gets impacted the opposite way. We have parts of our body because we're two different parts to ourselves. And the Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, that this line over here means Hashem allows us to have two parts to us, and our job is to separate those two parts and make sure that we know which is the beast and which is the man, the Kadosh. And to allow the Kadosh to affect the other side is crucial, and is what the brach of Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura really means in the end. Almost to the end, Oter Yisrael B'Tifara. Again, back to Yisrael. Unique bracha to Yisrael. Hashem crowns us with glory. What does that refer to? So Rav Shrab, when it refers to the Kisar Rosh, first us having a keep on our head. And I'll read to you the line, very important line in Rav Shrab. Shashchina shore al mishim mekai mitzvot. We mentioned before in that when it comes to the body, it's two halves of the body, we separate between the bottom half and the top half. Well, there's also something above us. The Shechina is above us. The Shechina is from the word Shachain. Shachain means it's very close to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dwelling very close, as our Shachain. Shechina is our neighbor, very close to us. Ukmoshim afsikim bein achil ka'aliyon eshal adam. Just like we separate from the bottom half of a person, as we mentioned beforehand, which is the job over there is the more behema, the more physical action, to the top part, which is the more human, the more kavish action, and the top we have to separate those two things as well. So too, kein chiyuv lechalik bein hashchila kedusha shora l'mamir shesenu l'amoch shabaroshenu. It's also important for us to separate from our top, our head, and the shchina. That's a shachin. It's a neighbor of ours, and that's with the kitzur rosh, with our kippah. Our kippah represents that separation. Now, that's for the boys. Even more than that, we say, the big example is tefillin even. Tefillin represents the tiferes, the Oter Yisrael B'Tifara. Again, for a boy. And for a girl, if you think about the head, especially when women are married, it refers to a level of tzniut, the hair of a lady, when she's single even, for tzniut. And when she's married, certainly, to be covered up as tzniut as well. That's the oteri. That's what crowns you in glory. To say, I'm not trying to be attracting. I want to be attracted to my husband, not attracting to the world. That's the greatest glory you can give, is by preserving your kedusha and your beauty to your husband. And that's the tznius, the oteri shel b'sifara of a girl. And for the boy, it's the kippah and the tzavos, again, have a separation to the shechina, which is the shechein to our head. Separate between our lower half and our top half. Separate from our top half and the shechina that's right above us. And finally, that's the brachah yishan v'mayim with oteri shel b'sifara. Nosin la'ev koach. Rosh Hashanah points out the word ya'ef is not ayef. Ya'ef is more than ayef. Ayef means I have a little strength left. Ya'ef means I'm spent. I have nothing left. You gave those nothing left koach to continue. This is a very strange place for this bracha. I mentioned before we first started that this bracha is not found in the Gemara. It's not the Gemara Menachos. It's not the Gemara Brachos. It was invented later on by the Sabaraim, who came after the time of the Gemara being finished. So this bracha here is not stam. Hashem gives me renewed energy. We have that already. With all the things we mentioned before, we were blind, now we can see again. We already had all these ideas. This is something different. And why is it placed at the very end, when we talk about Yisrael this, Yisrael that, it should be placed, of Koach, should be placed right after the series of Matira Surim, Zokef Kufim, Hashem renews me, gives me strength again. Why is it in the Yisrael part? And the reason why is because this was written down for us to be able to survive the long gulls that we're in right now. We're not, it's not Ayyef, we're not tired. We are spent. We have no energies left. You know, to maintain a kedusha in the world we live in the world of secularism that we live in around us, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the ya'if, the koach, to be able to survive. This is about the Jews, not about stam, a human being. He gives us the koach to survive, not as humans to be able to see again and to walk again and to straighten up again and to whatever it might be. He gives us Jews the ability to be Jewish with an oizah yisrael begvura, with an ota yisrael besifara. And with all those things, we keep our Jewish mentality and our Jewish roots intact. So Hashem now, He gives the Yaif, the one who's so spent, the Koach, to last in this difficult gulls we're in right now. There's so many people making Aliyah. I saw Nefesh B'Nefesh as the all-time record of applications. Because people, they want to get back. They want to fight to maintain this Kedusha, this connection. They want to get back. And Hashem, after describing mankind, and then more than that, there's the Jewish people's Gvura and Tifara. So we now have to think of Rios Kadosh Baruch Hu as someone who's no saying to the one who's spent, who's got nothing left, the ability to be surviving in our surroundings. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability, number one, to have Birchas HaShachar as a part of our day that we focus on, realize what we're talking about. We take each one, give an extra second or two, and appreciate anything I said over here. Just think of one little sentence, one little soundbite. Think about it. Write it down in your siddur. Before you say that bracha, read it, close your eyes, and then say it. Rosh Hashanah, to have a Birchas HaShachar, set our day off the right way, and to allow us to be full of the realization of all the pratim Hashem does on a daily basis. Have a great day.